1 Peter chapter 2, be reading the first three verses. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. God's word for our thoughtful consideration today. Please be seated. I'm sure most everybody here is acquainted with the term new birth. But the Apostle Peter, he didn't labor under the erroneous idea that a spiritual new birth automatically would produce a mature Christian. As in the realm of the physical, so it is in the spiritual. Just because you've experienced the new birth, just because you can say, yes, I've been born again, this does not mean that you are mature in your faith. Rather, when we come to know Christ, we are infants in the faith. I know some of you have traveled to a foreign country. And maybe you've traveled to a foreign country where you don't speak the language. Or maybe you've traveled to a foreign country where you do speak the language. I remember in 1969 when I got off the airplane in Buenos Aires, Argentina, even though I had studied Spanish for 2 years, and I heard all these words being spoken, I didn't hardly understand a word. But I also knew that as I continued to study and as I was exposed to that new speech pattern, by the end of the year I was there, I was able to preach in Spanish. More than likely, when we go to a foreign country, even though we've studied the language, we may need an interpreter to help us. But there's nothing wrong if we don't immediately understand. It's simply that we are brand new to a new linguistic environment. And that's how things are for a new Christian, for an infant Christian. They're new to the Christian environment. They might not know how explicitly and implicitly to talk the talk and walk the walk. They're spiritual babies born into a whole new lifestyle. The Apostle Peter here is challenging you and I, his readers, to respond fully to the potential that is ours of the spiritual birth into the family of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, we read, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." You see, I think what Peter's doing in this text, he's sort of urging us to be aware of the peril of assuming that when we become spiritually born again, this will automatically assure spiritual maturity. Peter here is expressing the importance of a positive response every day to the call of God, to become not just spiritually mature, but spiritually competent as we all serve Jesus Christ together. Remember when we studied math in high school, they had all these formulas you were supposed to learn, and then of course we've forgotten them. And one of the formulas was rate multiplied times time equals distance. Now, following worship, after I greet you, if I decide to start walking from our church here down to Mulberry Street in downtown Hagerstown, which is about 6 miles, if I start walking about noon today, it's going to take me quite a while to walk to Mulberry Street, right? It'll probably take me between 2 or 3 hours, and that's if I don't stop and eat lunch. Now, let's decide if you walk with me. Let's decide, I don't want to walk with a preacher. I want to drive. And you're going to get there a lot faster. The rate of your speed will allow you to cover more distance than the slower rate at which I would be walking. Now, you're probably thinking, what relevance could this illustration have to our spiritual growth? You know, some folks attend Sunday school, Bible study, or worship for many years. There are some people who are practically born in church, raised in church, but they still didn't arrive at their downtown destination yet, They didn't arrive at the spiritual destination God wants them to have yet because they're still what? Crawling along at a very slow rate. But then there's other individuals who have experienced salvation through Jesus Christ only for a few years, but they have already reached a steady level of spiritual maturity because they're doing what? They're walking. They're jogging. They're even running at a faster rate. You see, God has guaranteed spiritual maturity to every believer who has chosen to utilize the means of growth that He's given us. It is what each believer does with their time and the spiritual disciplines that He's given us that will determine our rate of speed and the time necessary to arrive at that destination that I would like to call spiritual maturity. Did you notice in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, these two words, rid yourselves. And these words of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, they can come as a real shock to a person who labors under the false assumption that the new birth alone is the ultimate in God's plan for His children. Peter declares here that those who have been called into the family of God have to lay aside the wicked ways of the secular and of the heathen world in which they've lived and which they continue to sojourn. It's almost as if they were wearing a contaminated garment infected with a fatal disease. This ungodliness is supposed to be thrown away. The Christian is to divest himself of all evil, two-faced trickery, false pretense, envying, and unkind remarks about others. Now, I can never remember doing this before, but I've brought a trash can today to the pulpit. How many preachers have you seen put a trash can on the pulpit? And notice there are some words that the Apostle Peter says that we should get rid of. The first word is malice. And you know what malice is? Malice refers to a force which destroys fellowship. It's the desire to make another person suffer. Malice can be fixed and unreasonable, or it can be not more than a passing mischievous impulse. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get rid of malice. The second word Peter uses is the word to deceive. What's it mean to deceive? Deceive means to mislead, delude, beguile, to lead, led astray. And the original sense of the word deceive meant bait for fish. It speaks of actions that are crafty and cunning. God's people are to be stalwart men and women of faith, honest and trustworthy at all times. We are to rid ourselves of deception. The third word is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means playing a part on a stage. What is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is pretense, claiming to be something or somebody or someone we are not. And Peter says we are to what? Get rid of that hypocrisy. The fourth word he uses is envy. Envy is resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another person. And this is joined with a desire the person envies, and they don't like what that person has, but guess what? They want to have it too. You see, envy is a feeling of pain at another person's success. And the Apostle Peter says, rid yourself of envy. The fifth word is slander. What is slander? Slander is verbal defamation or detraction. Webster defines slander as the utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defame and damage another's reputation, unquote. Our speech should not be characterized by slander. Instead, our speech should consist of words that edify, words that encourage, instead of words that injure and hurt. Unfortunately, how do we react to the current political and personal misrepresentations of all sides of the current presidential campaign? The Lord wants us to do what? Get rid of slander. None of the five vices that I put in this trash can should characterize a Christian home, community, or church. Every one of them needs to be thrown away. You know, these are all negative implications of the positive command in the Bible to love brothers and sisters in Christ. Those five representative words, those five pieces of paper that I threw in the trash can, they are all disruptive behaviors that need to be dropped and thrown into the trash. And these are just five illustrations of some of the things that have to be set aside if a believer is truly going to be a person of God offering a positive witness in this negative world that we live in. Now, do you think the vices that we talked about in 1 Peter chapter 2 are the only ones for us to avoid? Did you know God has a lot of vice lists in the Bible? There are other passages such as Mark chapter 7, verses 21 and 22, Romans chapter 1, verses 29 to 31, Romans 13, 13, 1 Corinthians 5, 10, Galatians chapter 5, 19 and 20, and even in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. There are a lot of vice lists. There are a lot of things that we as mature Christians need to avoid. Now, in 1 Peter 2, 2, he has another interesting phrase, like newborn babies. Now, a major characteristic of a healthy new baby is its instinctive yearning for its mother's milk. New Christians, and for that matter, older Christians, need to crave, according to the Apostle Peter, what is pure milk in contrast to the deceit of the former life. And just as a mother's milk is perfect food for the newborn child, Peter declares that God's word is the perfect food for our souls. Christians should desire to feast over and over again on the delicious word of God. Now, I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands this morning, but I'm sure most of us would prefer to eat three good meals a day. And not only do you eat three good meals a day, but I'm sure you manage to put in a few snacks now and then. But how many times a day do we devote even a few minutes to even reading a portion of the Bible? Undoubtedly, when Peter uses the term spiritual milk, it's undoubtedly a reference to the Word of God. And therefore, you could expand this translation to say, crave the unadulterated spiritual milk of the Word. Continuous nourishment from this milk causes the newborn to grow up in their salvation. You see, salvation just isn't a present possession of a born-again Christian, but salvation is also a future goal. And when Peter was inspired to write these words, he didn't assume that he was addressing a whole bunch of spiritually mature people. Instead, he was recognizing that if they would become servants of God, they must be involved in a continuous process of spiritual growth. And he emphasized the supreme importance of a sustained spiritual diet involving the spiritual milk of God's Word. You know, over the last 14 years that I've ministered in this congregation, I've urged us every year to practice a new spiritual discipline that will help us to grow not only as individuals but as a congregation. And you're probably saying, well, where'd you find these 12 disciplines? They are written about in a great book by a Quaker, by the way. His name is Richard Foster. He wrote a book a number of years ago called Celebration of Discipline. And I've shared these 12 disciplines in church board retreats and in church newsletter articles. And Richard Foster talked about four inward spiritual disciplines that will help us grow. And those are meditation, prayer, fasting, and personal Bible study. He also talked about four outward spiritual disciplines. And these are things that people could notice. The disciplines of simplicity, solitude, submission, and service. And then Richard Foster wrote about four corporate spiritual disciplines. Things that we do with each other. Like confession and worship and guidance through the body of Christ. in celebration of the joy we have in Christ. Every Sunday morning should be a celebration of that joy and the hope of the resurrection. The Word of God has been used by the Holy Spirit to affect the readers of this epistle into spiritual birth into the family of God. I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever, and this is the word that was preached to you. You see, as we consume and as we drink in the sincere spiritual milk of the word, this is going to nourish us that we grow into the life that God wants each one of us to have. Fortunately, each one of us here, as far as I know, we still have what we call taste buds, right? We can decide if something is sweet, if it's bitter. And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, says, "You have tasted." And this image of tasting the Lord goes back to Psalm 34, 8, where it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." You see, people who have come to taste the graciousness and the goodness of God, they will have a continuing appetite for additional spiritual nourishment. We've heard the expression, one way, right? We've heard the expression, my way or the highway, right? We've heard the expression, no way. There is no way for a new Christian to grow if he or she neglects to feed their soul on the milk and the meat of the Word of God. We know that new birth is possible by the preaching of God's Word, according to 1 Peter 1:23. And it is by obeying His Word that we purify our lives. I'd like to share for a moment from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. And I would like you not just to hear it, but to listen and apply it to your lives. The Apostle Peter wrote, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart." Now that's a powerful scripture. And I think that scripture sort of begs the question, can each one of us honestly say that we have a deep-seated, heartfelt love for every brother and sister that we know? How do we have that deep-seated, heartfelt love for brothers and sisters in Christ? It's possible because I want you to understand this morning. This book, the Word of God, has the life of God in it, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Spiritual growth makes fullness of joy possible. Spiritual growth makes effective Christian service possible. Spiritual growth points toward a victory, a quality of life, and a daily lifestyle that is pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Spiritual growth is the will of our Heavenly Father that each one of His children be in that process of becoming more and more like Jesus. You know, the New Testament talks about the challenge of us having the mind of Christ. May the Lord create in each one of us an intense desire for more spiritual nourishment. For whenever we decide, I'm not going to grow anymore, we're going to stagnate and we're not going to progress in our spiritual lives. Instead, may each of us this morning resolve to grow up as we turn to number 566 and sing, "I am resolved." Would you stand as we join together? 566.